She's been playing. I told you this morning she's been playing about a month. And we don't do this because, you know, we're just completely hillbilly. I want my children close. I want my children to want to serve the Lord, want to do something for God. Amen. And so I'll come in the house like that song, Help Is On The Way, that we sung this morning. For about a month, I'd come home, and as soon as I'd walk through the door, I'd grab my guitar and hear that all come gathering around and grab their instruments, and we'd just start playing and singing that. The tears are running down my face as I'm just worshiping the Lord and praising God. It's just a great opportunity for our family to be able to worship the Lord. And I just am so thankful for my family. And I don't tell you enough, Christian and Sarah and Zeke, Olivia, Hosanna and Colt, how much I just love and appreciate my children. They really love God. And I'm so thankful for my family, the way that they want to serve the Lord. And I appreciate that so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord with us. We're going to sing a little medley here. And you can join. Did I say that correct? She helps me out. Yeah, medley. And you can join in and sing this with us if you want to. Or just now, this is hillbilly. Okay? But I can talk about hillbillies because I are one. I said, now, my family's not completely hillbilly, but I are one. I'm from Pangburn, Arkansas. I just can't help it. It's in my bones. Will I fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. Oh, when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. By and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the glad story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it shine. Every day, every day, every day, every day, every day, I'll let my little light shine. Yeah, by and by, oh, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the glad story how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by.
The Lord. We should live here. streets of gold, down Heaven's Avenue. Talk with James and John.
All things will be new. We'll shake the
master's hand. Oh, won't it be grand? We shall inherit some glad day.
Oh, someday soon He will return. We'll behold His face. We shall inherit some glad day. He'll take me to my mansion that He said He would prepare. We shall inherit some glad day.
We'll walk on streets of gold, down Heaven's Avenue. Talk with James and John. Shake the
master's hand. Oh, won't it be grand? We shall inherit some glad day. Streets of gold, down Heaven's Avenue. Talk with James and John.
All things will be new. We'll shake the
master's hand. Oh, won't it be grand? We shall inherit some glad day. We shall inherit some glad day.
We're going to inherit someday. Amen. Not just a bunch of songs, I'm going to fly away. We're going to fly away. By and by, when the morning comes, I'm going to understand why some things happen. I haven't been able to figure it all out, but I'm going to understand. But until then, I'm going to let my light shine. Praise God. How about you? If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Acts chapter 1, and let's begin reading verse 8. I looked over here at these young people while we were playing, and some of them were looking at each other like, okay, are we on the mothership now? These guys are aliens. Bluegrass. It's not actually bluegrass. Her last name is Snow. White grass. But ye shall receive power. The word that means miraculous. The word that is used in other places as miracle. You will receive power. We talked about the greatest miracle of all is a life that's changed by this wonderful gospel of Jesus Christ. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Tarry in the city of Jerusalem. In good, simple, common language, don't you dare leave Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Will you raise your hands in this room one more time and say, Lord, we want the power that gives victory over sin, purity within. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That empowers your church
to do, God, what you've called us to do. Hallelujah, in this wonderful hour. Praise God, praise God. Amen. You can be seated this morning if you can. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 15, we talked this morning about the greatest miracle of all, and that is salvation. But I want us to look here for just a little while at the miraculous church. The scripture said, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Remember, Brother Hurst read this text this morning. I feel like God's trying to do something in our church. Amen? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, I want to talk about the obvious before we get into this verse. The obvious is this. I am not a snake handler. I preached a message in California, whosoever breaketh a hedge, a serpent shall bite him. And I had a snake. My youth pastor brought a snake out to me. And when he did, I almost lost half the church. It was a non-venomous snake. But I'm not a snake handler. I can't stand snakes. But when Paul was on that aisle, remember when he reached in with the bundle of wood? And that serpent, that viper, the poisonous beast, latched itself onto his hand. And Paul shook it off, and dropped it in the fire, and just kept on about his business. Because of that miracle, God was able to lead many on that island to the Lord. And he healed a lot of people in that island to confirm the word of God. Listen, if God calls you to Africa, don't worry about the snakes, Brother Heath. Amen. Because God will take care of you. And besides that, listen, you can't threaten us with death. That's like saying, I'm going to send you to heaven right now. Go ahead. I'd like to be out of this miserable world, wouldn't you? Amen. So God has given us power over these things. And if tonight some of you tried to poison me and God wasn't ready for me to go, sorry, I'm still here. Because the Lord is going to put His hand on His gospel ministers, His children, so that we can do the work of the kingdom of God while we're here. That's not one that happens all the time. But let me tell you what is happening that I'm seeing in my lifetime. We will cast out devils. Hallelujah. Oh, I want you to know that the devil has no power over Jesus Christ. The devil trembles when the weakest child of God gets on their knees and gets full of the power of the Holy Ghost. When they get that miraculous moving of God's Spirit in their life. Amen. God shows up. I can already hear somebody, oh, preacher, be careful what you say about the devil. He's going to come after you. I don't know what planet you're from. The devil's been after me ever since that I came into this world. Amen. But God has said to me, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. I want you to know that devils tremble at the name of Jesus Christ, and every knee and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. I've heard him say it more than once as they screamed out, as the bodies are levitating off the floor, as they're throwing grown men around in a room, as they're trying to hold them for the demons to be cast out. I've heard it more than once. The devil's screaming out, you can't cast us out. Let me tell you what's begun to happen in my life. I start laughing and I say, I heard that one before. You're coming out tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. Amen. We will cast out devils. You want me to tell you why our churches don't grow the way that they should many times? It's because the devil is comfortable on our pews. Now, unless you think that this preacher is going to say something this week to be hurtful to this congregation, you're deceiving yourself. You're not going to have an evangelist or preacher come in here and preach revival that has more respect for this man of God, this woman of God, and their family, the beautiful family, and this church. I love this church. So I'm going to say some things that are trying to challenge you and prod you along, but I guarantee you one thing. There's not a critical bone in my body about this church. I love this church because I love your pastor. Amen. And because I love the people in this church. So let me tell you something. I believe God wants more people to be saved in Dayton, Ohio. I believe God wants more people to be saved in the surrounding area. And we're going to have to get more power. We're going to have to get more of the Spirit of God in our midst so that when people walk, have you been in those services where people's knuckles are turning white? Brother, I've just been in enough of them to want it more and more and more. Hallelujah. Where the Holy Ghost is convicting them. When people walk in who are bound by demons, the demons immediately manifest themselves and we cast them out. Hallelujah. Hey friend, I want to tell you tonight, God is still moving through the church to cast out the devil. Walked into church one morning, and I've told this before, but that's the benefit of preaching here only once every few years. Some of you may have forgotten. But I walked into church, and we've been praying for a young lady for a long time. As soon as I walked in, her eyes met mine, and her eyes went down. She started shaking all over, and the tears started rolling down her face. And I said, glory to God, we got her. As the service progressed, the demons began to manifest themselves. Different ones went to her and began to pray. She was lifting them off of the floor. As soon as I walked over and put my hand on her head and commanded the devil to come out, the voices came out, voices that sounded like male voices, screeching, hideous, screaming out, "You can't cast us out." I said, "Oh, yes, we can. In the name of Jesus Christ." Amen. As the Spirit of God began to move on that young lady's heart, I said, there's not enough devils in hell to hold you if you'll ask God for help right now. Just call out to God for help. Amen. And we were praying for a young man down in South Texas who was bound by demons. I grabbed a hold of his shoulders as the demons were beginning to manifest themselves. And I said, young man, all you've got to do right now, you can make this easy. All you've got to do is say, help me, God. He opened his mouth and said, hey, and they started choking him. He couldn't say anything. I said, say it. Cry out. They can't stop you. I want you to know the devil cannot stop someone coming to God. If you want God to deliver you, you will be delivered. If you're tired of that habit, if you're tired of that bondage, if you're tired of being addicted to that thing that's possessing your life, it cannot hold you if you ask God for help. Woo! Hallelujah. Shandalanabasatahaya. Glory to God. He's in this room right now. Ask Him to help you in Jesus' name. Glory to God. That young man cried out one time, help God. Immediately the tears began to roll down his face. His hands went up in the air. He'd lift him about this high and it looked like something was holding him down. The voices were coming out as he called out to God. When he said help, his hands went up in the air. People started dancing, shouting all over the place. Why? Because the devil went out and God came in. Oh, kind of shouted in this room tonight, we'll cast out devils in this miraculous church. Praise God. I told this young lady, just call out to God for help. When she opened her mouth and started saying, help me, Jesus, please help me. The demon said, no, we're not going to let you go. She said, please help me, please help me. About that time, the peace of God flooded through that place. My assistant pastor, who's writing some material right now, Brother Ryan Rice, God has used him tremendously in casting out devils because he lived a pure life as a young man and because he knows how to fast and pray. And Ryan leaned down to this young lady and he said, you haven't got full deliverance and you know it. Tell the strong man to get out. He said, you know what I'm talking about. She opened her mouth and she said, devil, I'm not gay. I'm not a lesbian. You can't hold me anymore. At that point, the Spirit of God fell on that young lady. She danced all over the front of that building, danced all over the house as God gloriously saved her and filled her with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh, can I shout it in this room one more time tonight? The miraculous church will cast out devils. They have no power. They have no authority over the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Can I tell you, in this generation, I believe we got some young people that are going to pray through. I believe we got some moms and dads. We got some young couples that are going to pray all the way through to the power of God. And when it happens, listen, the devil cannot be allowed to hijack a service. When the demon begins to manifest itself, if it's not at the end of the service, get them out of the room and cast the devils out of them. We started a service, and I know some of you heard this, but I just feel it's what the Lord wants me to say, so I'm going to say it. There's a woman, she stood up in the back of the church, and she went, chip, 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 chip. And I thought to myself, it's really not normal for women to chirp like canaries in church. Something's not right. You know, I may be from Pangburn, Arkansas, but I got a little bit of sense. I walked back to where she was, and I said, you come with me right now. Right in the middle of the service. God was moving. We were having tremendous revival. Almost every service, sinners were getting saved, and I wasn't going to let the devil take over. She said, you can't do that to me. I'm just trying to worship God. And she rattled something off. Sounded like she was trying to speak in tongues. I said, stop that in the name of Jesus, and come with me. Her hand went into mine. I led her out through the back, and there was a trail of Holy Ghost-filled women. Amen. Where I'm from down south, they call them Shondai warriors. Amen. Here they come. Now in that hallway, brother, they were prayed up. Amen. We took her in a side room, cast the devils out. You should have saw the jaws drop. The next time this woman came to the house of God, when she walked into the church, people turned around. She had been addicted to drugs for years. Everyone in that community knew who she was. Amen. And in a few seconds of time, when the devil went out, God came in. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God still moves in miraculous ways to cast out the power of the enemy. Let me tell you, there are powers and principalities that work right here in this area. God's looking for some saints that'll stand in the gap. Some young people that when they get on their knees will say, I bind that power right now in the name of Jesus. And we loose the blessings of the kingdom of God in our church. Hallelujah. Bishop Archie was preaching in Mexico. He said he looked out on the front row and there was a man in a pair of overalls, hair just all over his face, scars all over his body. And as he began to preach, he began to levitate off the floor. Nobody around him, no strings. He just began to lift up off the floor and shake and tremble because Brother Archie is an anointed man of God. Brother Archie went over to him and cast the demons out. God gloriously delivered. The next night, Brother Archie's getting ready to preach, and his interpreter is sitting over there on the platform, and the whole time he's looking over at him. Hey, Bishop Archie, look over here. Look over here. Look. He said, on the front row, there was a beautiful young lady. And he said, look over here. Brother Archie said, I didn't want to look over there at a young lady. More than once, just look at her. Yeah, that's great. She's here. Who is she? He said, you don't know who she is. That is the witch that you cast the devils out of last night. Thought it was a man. But God had so miraculously delivered that woman and set her free. Hey man, that young lady is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that you and I are hindered because of the language barrier. Oh, I want to shout it in this room tonight. That's the way God wants to work. I preached a message in my church, just an average day in the church. Hallelujah. We ought to be walking in the miraculous power of God. Sinners being saved. Lives being changed. The devil being cast out. I'd like to go on. on and on, tell you more stories that I've just seen in my lifetime, deliverances of life. And the reason I want to tell those stories is not because I think anything of me. I know who cast him out. It's the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason I want to tell you is because the devil has lied to the church and said we cannot live in that same power. But Brother Bill, we can live in the same power that the early church lived in if we'll pay the price, if we'll pray, if we'll get endued with that miraculous power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. He said these signs shall follow them. They will speak with new tongues. You know what? I'm not going to go into a lengthy message on this tonight, because I believe I'm in a church that believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's not a shame to just raise your hands. If you're full of the Holy Ghost and if the Spirit is given the utterance, you're going to let Him utter. Hallelujah. You're going to let Him speak through you. Let me tell you, there is a power in being Pentecostal. Amen. Nanjambi said a witch came to him in Africa. And there in Africa, the prominent religion there in Togo where I went, the prominent religion is animism. Voodoo, basically, is what it is. And he said this witch came to him and said, I don't like your Pentecostal preachers. He said, why not? She said, because they're all drunk. He said, what do you mean? Said, they speak in some other language. And then they jump, and it makes me nervous when they speak in that language. And he said, they're all jumping around while they preach. And he said, they run around while they preach. They're all drunk. And Nanjambi said, you're right. They're all drunk. They're drunk on new wine. They're drunk in the Spirit of the living God. And the devil inside of you cannot stand the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, let me tell you, you need the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, brother, can I go to heaven without the baptism? Listen, I don't want to go to the grocery store without the baptism in the hour that we live in today. I'm not a fool. There's nothing more holy than the blood of Jesus. If you've been washed in the blood, you're saved. You're going in the rapture. I'm not going to be a fool and tell you a different story. But can I tell you tonight, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost. Amen. It's going to be commonplace for people to be filled with the Holy Ghost. First church I pastored, I played basketball with a guy. His name was Leroy. He went to Michigan State and played basketball for Michigan State. And I showed him a few things on the basketball court. Showed him how not to play. He apparently didn't watch my videos. Come fly with me. But y'all don't believe that, do you? But Leroy came to church. I kept after him, trying to win him to the Lord. Finally, he came to church. And in the church that I pastor is down in the Delta, very racial. In fact, when I first got there, one of the funnest things for the deacons to do is stand at the back door and tell black jokes. Made me so mad. I was half mad and half anointed for about the first 6 months I was there. Till I prayed through, fasted, and got up one night and preached on racism, and God delivered that church from racism. God started coloring that church up. Amen. This young man came down to the altar. Brother Hurst, when he got saved, he came down, he just fell over that altar. The tears began to roll down his face. He just shook and trembled all over and asked for Jesus to become his Lord and his Master. When he stood up, he was so excited he didn't know what to do with himself. So he ran over to one of my deacon's wives. Stand up, buddy, if you would. Listen, I don't normally hug guys. It's not my thing. But I'm going to hug you, so prepare yourself, okay? You're getting nervous, aren't you? Sorry about that. He ran over there to one of my deacon's wives and just grabbed a hold of her like this. Ooh, he's crying. And I look coming down the aisle. As soon as it happened, my deacon stood up. You can sit down, buddy. Thank you. As soon as it happened, here come one of my deacons walking down the aisle. I seen him doing like this. And I thought, oh, Lord, help us, help us. Help us now, Lord, rapture us. Get us out of here. I was praying. I'm serious. Y'all can laugh if you want to. I'm serious. I was scared. I wanted out of there. He walked up to him. He said, Leroy, I just want to give you a hug. He grabbed him, pulled him down, hugged him on his neck, pulled him in close to his chest. He said, Leroy, God saved you. I got to tell you something though, son. Now God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Get your hands up and let God fill you with the... Oh, amen. That used to be commonplace in the church. When somebody got saved, we'd say, raise your hands now. Amen. It's good that you got saved, but God wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Now we want to hand them a bunch of programs and tell them about all the stuff we have in the church to offer to them. Let me tell you, we don't have anything to offer them that'll compare to the baptism of the Holy Ghost when they speak with other tongues. As the Spirit of God gives the utterance, it's miraculous. Let me tell you, I've preached in the islands. I've preached in Africa. Amen. I've ministered in Haiti. I've ministered in south, amen, of the border down in Mexico. And when people get the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the islands, you know what it sounds like? It sounds like Southern Ohio Youth Camp. Amen. When they got filled with the Holy Ghost in Africa, I went to this church. I gave an altar call for people to come and be filled with the Holy Ghost. I didn't realize it, but they had been fasting for 30 days to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. About 200 people, and about 175 of them came forward and said, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I turned around to my interpreter and I said, they don't understand. I asked for those who had never been filled. He said, Pastor, no, you don't understand. This church only been here 1 year. These men, these women, these children have fasted 30 days to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Brother, as they lifted their hands up, and one after another of them began to be filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, it sounded just like when I prayed people through right here in these altars in this church to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's the same Spirit. He gives the utterance. It may be a different language, but it is the same Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Brother Holmes brought Brother Iconi with him from Africa. Brother Brian said he's got to go to work tomorrow. He's got me nervous. I don't want to keep you too late tonight. I'm teasing, Brother Brian. Brother Iconi is a general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in Nigeria. And now he's the general secretary, but a powerful man of God. Brother Iconi was in a service in Oklahoma. And there was a woman who just kept saying the same phrase in tongues over and over again. The pastor was getting a little embarrassed. Brother Holmes said the pastor went over to this lady to quieten her. And Brother Iconi has just been over there just trembling and worshiping God. Brother Iconi went over to this pastor and said, oh, brother, please do not forbid her. She is speaking in a specific dialect. From the village that I was raised in, Africa. She keeps saying over and over, God, you are worthy, and I am unworthy. God, you are worthy, and I am unworthy. He said, oh, pastor, do not forbid her. Because he said, God is worthy, and I am unworthy. God is worthy, and you are unworthy. Oh, don't worry about what it sounds like. Just let God miraculously baptize you in His Spirit. It will not end with tongues. Don't say a few words and go sit down. Let His Spirit flow through you, flow through you, flow through you, more and more and over again. Brother, I've been in too many services where it's 1 o'clock in the morning before we get out of the house of God. Amen. Let's stay until God gloriously gives us the dunamis, the miraculous power of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They shall lay hands on the sick. And if it's the right time of the year, they'll recover. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Glory to God. I'm preaching about the miraculous church. When I first went to Des Moines, I was preaching on miracles. And people looked at me like they do a lot of places when I go and tell about what God has done. They kind of look at you like, yeah, I'd like to know who that is. I'd like to know where they're from. I like the doctor's report. Why are we like that? And when somebody tells a story, and it's somebody like Brother Hurst that I love and respect and trust, man, I tell you what, I'm eating it up. The other night when Brother Hurst gave an utterance, amen, and spoke forth and gave an interpretation for the message, something in my heart just said, hey, that's Brother Hurst that did that. That's God speaking. Amen. Praise the Lord. I know he's human. I'm not saying he's God. Amen. But he loves God with all of his heart. Amen. I want to tell you something. My God is still the miracle working God. One of my deacons come walking up to me and said, Brother Snow, my grandbaby said they're not giving her any hope. Can you pray for her, please? I want to bring her before the Lord. I want her to be prayed for. I want you to anoint her. We've got to pray. Her blood was causing her problems where it was flowing just so freely. If she cut herself, just a small cut, it wasn't because she was on any medicine, but the blood would just flow. Her body wouldn't heal itself. When it would happen, the blood wouldn't cause it to be healed. And we just prayed like I always pray. I know God can do anything at any time. I don't understand sometimes why it doesn't happen. All I know is it happens enough. I'm just going to keep believing it's going to happen when I pray right then. I'm not going to try to figure that all out. I put my hands on him and began to pray. Amen. Just a few days, that deacon come back to church. Brother Snow, come over here. I got to tell you what happened. Here's the report. Here's what God has done. Said she cut her hand. She fell down just the other day and cut her hand, and immediately it began to scab over. It's never happened like that. Took the baby back. They ran a bunch of tests. They said, who is this child? Who is this child? Amen. I want you to know who that child is. That's the same one. She just came in contact with the Master. Hallelujah. She just came to a miraculous church where God He's able to do the impossible at any time. Glory to God. Amen. So what's happened? The Lord dealt with me the first of this year to go away and spend some time in prayer and seeking the face of God. When I was alone in prayer, the Lord spoke to me and said, I'm going to do miracles in your church this year. I'm going to do miracles in your ministry this year. Amen, like you can't imagine. Praise God. Let me tell you, almost every week, people are coming back reporting a miracle of what God has done. I'm not exaggerating. Hallelujah. Amen, and my family. It's so exciting. We can't wait to get to the house of God to hear the next report. Can't help it. When the phone starts ringing, I want to run to it and find out what's going on. Hallelujah. Because God is healing. Let me tell you something. What is happening? It's not just a circus show. I'm going to get to that in a minute. God's not in the circus business. Let me tell you what's happening. Now sinners are getting interested. People are hearing about what God is doing in the church. Even in our house is filling up with sinners and people that are curious to find out what God is doing. Can I shout it one more time? This is a miraculous church. And if we'll avail ourselves to the power of God, anything can happen. Amen. Right now, in this room, any person can be healed of whatever you have in Jesus' name. Oh, preacher, be careful what you're saying. Listen, God is able to do anything. All things, he said, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, preacher, I don't believe that. It's obvious. In some people's lives, they don't believe that. Amen. So you just keep on believing it that way if you want to, and I'll keep on believing it this way and keep watching people get healed and get helped by the hand of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I said it before. I don't understand it. I'm not being a fool tonight. I don't understand why everyone is not healed the same way or in the same fashion. All I know is this, that anyone in this room who has a need in their body is a potential candidate for a miracle tonight. Amen. God doesn't love anybody anymore, anybody any less. But let me tell you this, God knows how to move. And according to your faith, many times he said, let it be done. Oh, tonight in this room, if you need a miracle right now, I want you to raise your hands. Amen. He walks among the seven golden candlesticks. That means Jesus is walking right now in this church building. If you need a miracle, raise up your hand and say, God, I need you to heal me right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let him heal you right now. Amen. We got time for the healer to step in here. We've got time tonight. Amen. For the great physician to walk the aisles of this church. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Later this week, if the Lord is willing, I'm going to preach a message and my family's going to help me. The miraculous things that we've seen God do in people's lives. Again, I'm telling you, the greatest miracle is salvation. But I'm sick of my stomach of preachers making comments. Like I heard one preacher say, and he was looking right at me. He was doing his best. It's a big holiness meeting. He was trying to single me out. You know, the problem when you preach the way that I preach, the way that I believe in seeing sinners get saved, I get shot at from those guys who are psycho-conservative. And I get shot at from the liberals all the time. But I'm just going to keep preaching this message because this is the right message to preach. There's some churches so hard that if somebody wants to get saved, they got to jump through all the hoops. I want you to know that's a bunch of hogwash. That's from the pits of hell. Amen, Brother Snow. Go ahead and preach here tonight. Amen. I don't like that spirit. I can't stand that spirit. There's some churches that everything's okay. Let's just go along. Let's just do whatever we want to do. I can't stand that message. You want me to tell you what I want to preach? I want to preach what Jesus preached. You know what Jesus preached? He preached those that were hurting. He preached those that needed help. He went to seek and save that which was lost. He healed the sick. He cast out devils. Brother, that's the miraculous church that God wants to have in this hour. Hallelujah. He wants us to be full of the Spirit of God. One of the greatest miracles I've seen was in Sacramento, California, and I was preaching one night, or actually just exhorting. I never did preach that night. I was walking down the aisle, and there was a lady there. It was a young African-American lady, probably in her mid to late 30s. And the Spirit of God moved me right to her. I grabbed a hold of her arm and I said, "You need to march for your victory." Amen. She just kind of looked at me. I found out later she wasn't even saved. But she started marching around the building. She got about where that beam is right there. She screamed, fell flat on her face and laid there, no exaggeration. 45 minutes, maybe an hour, she just laid there crying and just trembling. She got up and kept on marching like I told her to do. They're very obedient. Bishop Archie's church, even when they're sinners. Amen. She got around about halfway down and she got carried away, and then she got to the front. And when she got to the front, she said, "Yes!" A few minutes passed and she said, "Yes, Lord!" The third time she said it, boom! The power of God hit her. She fell flat on her face again. She was there, no exaggeration, 45 minutes to an hour, while God was filling young people with the Holy Ghost. They kept trying to close the service. They couldn't close it, Brother Hurst. Young people off the streets there in Sacramento getting saved, getting filled with the Holy Ghost, people getting healed in the house of God. I mean, just a mighty move of the Spirit of God. The next night, I heard her out in the hallway, and Bishop Archie said, "Bring her in. Let's find out what's going on." She was out in the hallway outside of his office. She came in, and she said, "Bishop, you know me. You know me. You know the cancer. You know the problem that I've had." And she just started, "Woo!" Amen. Deacons got a hold of her, kept her from breaking anything, and said, "Just tell us what's happened, sister." She said, "Last night, Bishop, when the Spirit of God hit me the first time and I fell down on the floor, a light shined on this side of my body and burned the cancer right out of my face." She said, "You know the tumor that's grown back?" And she had her face puffed out. Said, "You know the tumor that had been back there that was growing into the bone? You know how I lived in pain, but I didn't have insurance and I couldn't get treatment. But last night, God burned that cancer." She just started dancing. Woo! Started shouting, "God burned it out of my face." She got calmed down again and said, do you remember when I was standing at the altar? She said, I heard God speak to me. She said, Bishop, you know me. I haven't been to church in years till I came to that service last night. You know, my grandma used to bring me to church, but I was never born again. But last night God said, do you love me? And I said, yes, Lord. She said, I didn't hear anything for a few minutes. Then God said, do you love me? I said, yes, Lord. She said, the third time God asked me that question. When I said, yes, Lord, God said, you're my child. Amen. And she said, I realized then I was saved. He had forgiven me for my wicked lifestyle. She said, that time when I fell, I seen a light shine on this side of my body. And she had had a tumor in her chest. And God removed that cancer out of her breast. Can I shouted in this room tonight, he is still the God of the miraculous church. He is in this room tonight. No matter what your need is, my God is here. I've seen those, Brother Brian, who were born deaf, healed in front of my eyes. I've seen the crooked come straight. And can I tell you tonight, I don't believe any less. I came into this service tonight saying, I promise you, I really did. I came into this service saying, this could be the greatest service I've ever been in my life. He bet this could be the greatest revival that I've ever been in. My deacons are on alert. I said, if God gets to moving, amen, I'm his servant above any church or above any other thing. Amen. I want to have a move of the Spirit of God that'll transform our lives for eternity. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I told them the other day at the youth meeting, Brother Hurst, I meant it. I'd heard all the stories about what God had done. I purpose in my heart as a young man, I'm going to pray. Some of my family members, there's a rock there on the hillside in Arkansas. Our family has 300 acres, just gorgeous, out right in the middle of the Ozark Mountains. And there on that rock, there's many times where my family thought it was a wild animal out in the woods screaming and hollering. Amen. It's not that I thought God was deaf. It's just that I wanted his attention. I wanted him to know that there's somebody in this world that's sick and tired of the church just rolling the way that it's always been. You've got that kind of pastor. Amen. Daily praying and seeking the face of God for a move of the Spirit in this church. And I believe there's many in this room tonight that feel the same way. We're tired of hearing about what used to happen. We're ready for God to move today in our hour. Like that black pastor that walked in and saw the picture of Reverend Booth, who'd done such a tremendous job with the Salvation Army, and God had moved in such a great way. When that started, that was powerful. It was kind of similar to A.B. Simpson, the group that they had. Amen, as far as the sanctification message. And as he looked at that picture, the curator come over and asked him, said, can I help you? He said, is that really his picture? He said, yeah. He said, do you mind if I stay here for a little while? He said, that's fine. The little black preacher got down on his knees right there, put his hands up on the wall underneath of that picture, said, oh God, do it again. Few minutes passed by. Oh God, do it again. He trembled in prayer. Oh God, do it again. Is there anybody here in this room tonight that would like to lift your hands toward heaven and say, oh God, do it again. Do it again. 3,000 one day, 5,000 another day, saved. Hallelujah. I'm talking about people, 8,000 souls, people that were on their way to hell. that were now on their way to heaven because of a group of 120. I believe there's more than that in this room tonight. And if we would all get full of the Holy Ghost, we would have the same results today because we're a part of the same miraculous church. He left a Holy Ghost church and He's coming back for a Holy Ghost church. Amen. I believe it with every fiber of being inside of me. I'm living in the rapture generation. I don't know how we made it through 2009. I don't see how we'll get through 2010. I believe Jesus is coming, and I want to say it tonight. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. God, move in this miraculous church. Pour out your spirit. Confirm your word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody says, why the miracles? The scripture said, in confirming the word with signs following, God wants to confirm that this is His book. This is His accurate record. He wants to confirm that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He wants to confirm that the cross did pay for our sins. The cross secured my healing. The cross opened the door to make me a candidate to be a baptism. He better receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Will you stand in this room tonight? Will you raise your hand, but more importantly, your hearts, and say, God, do it again. Do it again. Heal tonight. Fill tonight with the Holy Ghost. Empower this church to cast out the devil. Shatalalabasatah. Shatalalalabosatahai. Oh, right there where you stand, keep seeking Him. Keep talking to Him. Keep asking Him, do it again, Lord, do it again. If Jesus tarries, America has yet to see the dreadful things that are going to happen in this nation. You mark my words, write them down, and bring it back up to me if you want. Friend, Jesus is coming, and the test that is going to come to America is going to shake it to its core. But in the midst of it, God's got a church that will shine, that will be miraculous, that will be empowered, that will see a harvest of souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Keep worshiping God. Don't stop. Don't let up at all. If you're here right now in this service, you'll say, preacher, I'm not even where I need to be with God. This is just the way I feel like giving this first call. You'll say, preacher, I don't even know where I stand with God. Come down here quickly. Amen. Come quickly. We want to pray with you. You can't afford to be backslid in this generation. You cannot afford to be backslid in this hour. Amen. Judgment is beginning in the house of God. Hallelujah. There's a purging going on. Amen. And there was a time where God winked at ignorance, but now He commands every man everywhere to repent. And if you're not where you need to be with God, come right now. Amen. Get things right with God before you walk out of this room. Hallelujah. Just so we'll know who we're praying with and how to pray. If you're here right now and you say, preacher, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost with that initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you to come right now, just raise your hand, son, and ask God to fill you. Hallelujah. And just let Him fill you right there. Amen. That's how easy it is. God wants to just continue right now, son. Hallelujah. Just let Him flow through you right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Many young people that I prayed with. So, brother, I've tried, and I just want to be filled. Amen. Many of them, I've said, all right, raise your hands and just let God fill you. And immediately, Brother Rock, many times, God just instantly baptized them in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Don't make it more difficult than what it is. God wants to give you His power for this generation that's lost. Amen. God wants to give you His power to live right. Hallelujah. To be ready, to be sharp as you can be. Amen. To be prepared for the rapture of the church. Amen. Are there any young ladies or any ladies that are saying, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost tonight? I want you to come. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. How many in this room tonight will say, I want to be a part of a miraculous church right here at Union Road? I want our church, I want it to be commonplace for sinners to pray through in our altars. I want it to be commonplace to cast out devils. I want it to be commonplace for people to be healed, miracles to take place. I want it to be commonplace for people to be filled with the Spirit of the living God. I want it to be commonplace for visitors to frequent our church. Amen. You know what I've been praying in Des Moines? God caused people to come to our church. Amen. Are just driving by who don't even know why they're coming. Amen. I've had so many people come to me and say, preacher, I didn't even know why I was coming. I just drove by and felt the presence of God. Hallelujah. I've walked around that church pouring oil on the doors. Amen. And praying over the pews. God, let them feel the Spirit before they ever walk into the church, before they ever get in the sanctuary. And you know what they're saying? Preacher, when I drove up on the parking lot, I could feel the glory of God. I could feel His presence. I wanted to come in and find out what He wanted to do in my life. If you want to be a part of a miraculous church, will you slip out from where you are? Come to the front of this building with your hands raised, allowing the Spirit of God to flow through you tonight. Say, God, refill us as a church with the power of the Holy Ghost. God, make us a miraculous church. Full of the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God, glory to God. Shandalalala basiki andalala basatahai. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Here in a few moments, if somebody would come to the music, begin to lead us, hallelujah, in the altar with songs of deliverance. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.